Good morning. It's me. Can you hear me? You're listening to Nighttime Daydreams with DJ Talon K on Spirit Plants Radio, broadcasting around the world at spiritplantsradio.com. Turn on and then you tune in and visit us on the web at spiritplantsradio.com for schedules, playlists, archives, and more.
Raymond Sword Jr. Labyrinth Feeding and Fixation. Part 10. From Scriptor Press Sampler Number 17, 2015 Annual, page 91. Try to forget me. Try to erase it. Pearl Jam, Jeremy, 1992. 24. They stand. The boys zip up. The girl tugs down her short white skirt as far as it goes. Not much. Shy says, when moments before she had them wet, twisted, fingers and lips and orifices unsolvable among each other, a sort of three-headed grown monster, she wants them to lead, and each to take one of her hands, of course. The lobby is dark, door locked from outside before midnight showing of remote land begins. Goers learn to prop a rock in it to keep it open. It's painted orange, and everyone is told so they can get back in. She hasn't been outside the theater, is the truth. Didn't come this way. Doesn't know what to expect. Sex with these two boys is sweet and easy compared to this. Behind them, in the now seemingly empty theater, the next film begins its first run. The title, it doesn't list anywhere, is More Fun. Is it a sequel? I don't know. Is it the next day? I don't know. I'm in a pickup in the passenger seat. Next to me, two friends. One, a heavy blonde man I knew a couple of decades ago. His name is Bill. Between us, another blonde, a girl. Pretty. But we're not calm. We're on the run. Not sure what. The air itself is troubled, visibly ruffled like it's damaged. Driving slow past the shopping mall. Imploded. Rubble. Smoke. Drive. Why? That's all we found for 1,000 miles. Drive! The truck speeds up some, but not enough. I reach by the girl, grab his throat. Fucking drive with him the fuck out! Squeeze harder every syllable. He floors it, my hand withdraws, slowly traveling across her tight t-shirt, braless beneath. She holds her breath to keep from reacting aloud. I was alone, camping in the woods, a clearing I sometimes dreamt was shaped like a temple if the moon was full. Every way into my clearing was rigged to snare the intruder. I heard them before they appeared. They were fighting. She was ahead of him, so tripped first. I disengaged the spiked net, so she nearly tumbled into my arms. Her sweater still buttoned up back then. Him, no longer earning a good look. Her in my grasp, but still one hand free to point my gun at him. Don't hurt her, we mean you no harm, I swear. Sit on the ground, now, on your hands. He did. Already his claim of her was slipping. She shifted my arms, but to make her comfort. I chose to keep her, and he was part of this choice for the moment. I fed them, handing him some dried meat, fruits, berries. Fed her myself. She chewed slowly, holding my eyes. Turquoise eyes, chewing slowly. Had they really been together? For a little while, it seemed, she lost her people. Needed a man's protection badly. But he didn't take it from her, and she didn't find him attractive enough to offer herself. Settled for traveling together. I could probably have simply left with her, or at worst, wounded him enough to leave. But I didn't. The rules of this new world weren't clear. I'd been with girls before, but this one was 1,000 times more, so he was a kind of buffer while I sussed and decided. I pretended to acknowledge they were together in a meaningful sense and to accept this. She wasn't the kind of girl who begged or even asked, as I said. I simply teased her, kept feeding her by hand as that first time, found casual reasons to touch her, mark her mind for a later take if I chose, if we chose her. By the time we were passing by that imploded mall, she had chosen. But I had to claim her now, to claim her how I could, to claim her how I could would decock him in a way men don't survive unchanged. I'm not telling you, Will, it was the broken air, too. It was the burning landscape. It was whether only one man could protect a girl like this. She watches me constantly from the side of her face, won't fully look at me, but won't look away. I treat him like the man he isn't, as we make our campfire at night. Show him how I lay my snares and traps for food, for enemies. She watches what I don't teach her directly. I'm still choosing. He knows nothing about survival.
Once she withdrew from him, for good, flickering his light doused, all was left was smoke. I could shoot him dead, would leave him crippled, toss her over my shoulder, find a starlit clearing to have her. Pretty tits, high ass, tight pussy for my straight razor and long, lonely cock. But I don't. Days go by, I find a truck. I'm no mechanic, but it's only got a flat. A donut spare solves that for now, and a bent chassis, so we have to steer a little off-center to go straight. We drive and drive and drive. No hordes of zombies like we were told would ruin the world or emerge from the ruining hand of men. No, most people were dead in the first month, their bodies disintegrating to dust weeks later. Nobody to bury or to rise up. The rest were left on a world of canned goods, and enough batteries and portable generators to survive. Not dead, but for a long time, weaker, lethargic, like this companion of mine, surviving but nothing more. And most never shook it off. See, that's the problem. She and I both did. I tell it slant like this because it's how I figured it out. In pieces, not enough of them. I still don't know what killed most of us. He floors it, briefly present, and we race through broken air. And there's a noise from the engine. Crack! Pop! When the truck seems to come loose, we slide wildly in our seats, and when the truck rights itself, her sweater and her sleeve is caught on the steering wheel. Terrified, she screams, pulls, the truck veers hard to the right. We nearly roll, but he presses the brakes easy enough to slow us and we stop. That night, another snared and trapped clearing, dimming embers of the fire. She crawls into my sleeping bag. Damn near rips it slightly in. Kisses me just once, her tongue down my throat so deep my lungs get a taste. One hand pulling up her dress, the other tugging down my shorts, and more words than I've heard all these days. Put it in there and scream harder, take your gun and broken truck and fucking go. I comply. One look into her turquoise eyes, as first she comes, then me, then her again, tells me she's nobody like I thought. Luckily, he hears her loud sex noises, takes my gun and goes. 25. Pack up, drive on. She's calmer now. Not happy, but at least paying attention. Not just blindly furious. Tank running low. Limp. To a filling station. Not as simple as they once were. Gasoline, power, food, water. Hire a war, an assassin. Try to find others to travel with. Campsite, smoking tents. Only rule. Check your guns and weapons at the door. So we're in line for fuel. Long line. She talks. Still hasn't much, though I know she has a tongue and a voice from her sex hours. Wants a soda. Sure, girl, she says. Some angle of access I don't know. I pay one of the boys hanging around away with our truck. He leers at her. I don't blame him, but he's not getting anything. Hold her hand and mark her. I have fallen down a building attached to several large tents. She likes this as a gesture of possession, of safety. Get her a drink and pay more for a clean cup on a straw. I listen to conversations, looking for some entry, something useful, and all the hate and ignorance. Meet a man with manners. Good ones, rare ones. He wants money in return for her in a private room for a little while. She won't look at me. We go with her if I said it. No. No, you're wasting my time. You know someone will take this sooner or later. With me, it's invaluable. And I don't just like to hurt for fun. No. His face softens. He's young. These aren't his maps, fairly. More desperate than bad. Take me with you. No. He unfolds one of his maps. It's very old. Old words I don't even tell how to use it. Songs. You have to sing the right songs or the landscape remains cloaked. You pass through unknowing its truths. She's not looking at me hard. Willing to risk him for these maps. You touch her, one of us will have to die because of it. Am I clear? Nods. Cock's not that hard on the other. Her turquoise eyes find mine. There's a vague smile. 26. He says we have to leave the truck, not sell it, not even give it away. We have to travel by caravan. We stay 2 days till one passes through. Travelers are generous and kind, but will not take on most who ask. He makes us wait at a distance while he negotiates. They agree. Travelers don't sell their women or girls or use them for bait or bargaining. They assess them when they join up, what skills and arts they have, what crafts, and set to teaching them what they don't know. Men are taught, but only if they can find a willing teacher. Our companion is little seen, won't tell me how he spends his days. I make myself useful to repair things, clean weapons, wash dishes, build morning fires. I finally tell one of the elders what he asks. We're bound somewhere. I didn't think she would make it whole. You could stay with us instead. His offer is made with little enthusiasm. He sees my path better than I see my own. You lose her eventually. Even if I stay, I'm sorry. I try not to leave you, but her smile and confidence grow day by day. The other is rarely around. What do I offer her that this secure family of travelers does not have better? Finally, our companion comes back, holding a leather book filled with pages upon pages of numbers. We're close. We need to break off tomorrow morning. Tell her. She may not come. His expression is fury. Do you want to live this dangerous, dirty life always? Does she? Tell her. She returns to her bed, late, tired, smiling, rolls naked into my arms to sleep, willing on nights when I am. He says we're close. We leave tomorrow. Her soft body stiffens, but no words. I can't make you. You have a kind of home here. Nothing. Then, can I make you stay? No. She rolls away from me, still holding my hand. But when I wake up, she has us packed and ready to go. 27. He was my postman. I wake and it's still night, quiet. The camp is guarded at all hours. So I don't divide my thoughts to her safety as I have so long. Remind myself not to. Who? He brought me the letter telling me my father died. I listened. It was a hot day, you remember. I invited him in for a lemonade. He liked my halter tops. I let him look. Nothing else. No words. But I was feeling weird that day, and the letter he handed me looked disturbingly personal. The tent is dark around a candle and a crack in the ceiling. Helps him to sleep and stay alert both all night. When we fuck, I want us to come together. It's a discipline I want us to have. I listen now with that level of attention. A bad noise, misspent, karma. It was from my aunt. She and my father raised me together. She still lived in that village, ran the big garden of the hotel. She was kind of a witch, though her practices were her own. Takes my hand in hers, twines our fingers, breathes, talks on them. He and I had become separated. There was a war. He made sure I was safe. Years later, I came back to Aunt and her garden. Words rushed, trying to explain years in a few seconds, a couple of sentences. I squeezed her hand tight once. I loved him. I always thought of him. He was a tinker. Very smart, very sweet. Harder breathing than what comes. He got me old, got me sick. But when he made his way back to her, he was to die in a bed with a loved face nearby. She tried her tricks, tried them all. And it was quick, no time to find and fetch me. So she told him she'd make sure I knew. He wished not, but agreed. Had one request of her. Tell her who she is, all of it. It will help her. She has something in her hand that makes me feel it too. Her letter, the rest. I stopped reading at that moment, put it in my pocket. Why should my postman see me learning what I am? I feel it, poke my finger inside the envelope, several pages. Then all of this happened. He protected the postman. He could have run over and over, but he didn't. Then why me? I wanted a man who could read that letter to me to be strong enough to handle it. What do you think that's me? You could have had me from your first day. Shot him, forced me, you know all this. I'm silent, measuring futures and possibilities. Honest with myself, I'm hating it, she's in all of them. Should I read it now? No, don't ask. Sometime after, just pull me somewhere private and tell me it's time. I always have to hear you. Then the letter is gone from my hand, and she's atop me, and I'm driving deep and slow inside her, and thinking, as much as I have left, there is no possible future without her. She makes me come first, forces out of me, get out of me, laughs, pull me close. Her turn is slow, moaning, come in my ear, laughs more.
Thank you. Good morning. It's me. Can you hear me?
You're listening to Nighttime Daydreams with DJ Talon K on Spirit Plants Radio, broadcasting around the world at spiritplantsradio.com. Turn on and then you tune in and visit us on the web at spiritplantsradio.com for schedules, playlists, archives, and more.
32. We travel, the three of us now, my man, jealous and unsure, and our guide who risk all for a half an hour with my bare ass raised high. 20 minutes. 5. But he doesn't get it. I let him close enough for a sniff of the girl, especially when my man has recently well enjoyed me, but no more. Still, enough of a vague promise to keep us together, bound somewhere good. We'd sit in summer, and we'd sit in countryside nights between towns, studying the maps. Why not an inn? It was me. Most men were no longer like the postman, or my man, or even the weasel guiding us, who had a secret hidden gun on him and could have used it. I would have let him, just to shut him up wanting it, but some men get addicted, would mistake a pity fuck for love. They were afraid because as we got closer to somewhere in those maps, fewer the laws. That last night before we hit the sea air, I felt them following all day. Feigned fatigue and illness frequently to stall us. A couple of sleeping herbs in their drinks. I presented at his tent. Didn't trust any building in his region. His predecessor had. Bearded, long-haired, but furs. A cock in them somewhere, but it was all to awe challengers or their women. He smiled. Not cruelly. We talked before we fucked. How do you know I won't kill you? Sorry. How do you know I won't kill them and keep you? I know you loved your wife. He starts. I know you didn't have a chance to say goodbye. He lunges, but at himself. I bid him douse the lights. Wait. I undress, sit on his lap, feed him what I had brought. Some drink, too. I'm not her. I would not insult or fool you. But tonight we will say goodbye to her, and you will let her go, and keep her. I'm back in his grasp before either groggily wakes. The path to the water remains safe that day when we arrive. Where we're bound, the island is no sane place, but it's where he wishes to go. What drives him. And the weasel-faced one, he smells another man's seed on me and wonders darkly, but says nothing. Knows there's prizes and powers to be gained where we're bound. The kind to claim my sweet ass and my man's too if his will and whim. And it might be. I know better than either of them, but say nothing. Choose the power of silence. Watch it. Listen. Wonder if my long-ago dreams of this island have any truth in them. That I remember every last detail, like the spit in my own mouth. 65. The heroes had been summoned to the island again. Surprise. It had happened while they were on a lecture tour, much demanded, in which they described their heroic adventures. One year, climbing the steep and rainy Mount Cloudy Day. The next, traveling far along the imaginal hikeway. And last year, coming to the island in very ancient times, traveling to the great cavern under the tangled gate, long before its big tree was tall, before even creatures lived there. They lectured to a packed crowd at the Ancien Coffee House, telling of these travels, and also urging their listeners to become heroes too. Coming out of the Ancien, two heroes encountered the kiddies in their boat wagon, seeming to be waiting for them. A glance at the dashboard showed there to be a letter button waiting to be pressed. Pressed, and a letter pops out to be read, unfolded, and it says, "You must return to the island for a secret journey. P.S. Gather a good crew to go with you. P.P.S. When you get to the island, there will be a second letter." So the heroes went back to the Ancien Coffee House and announced to those who'd heard their lecture their plan to take a secret journey in need of crew. Over a dozen volunteered and all traipsed out to the boat wagon to start, while many others came outside to wish them well. They all buckled up in the back, safety first, and rolled along till they passed through the white woods and arrived at the sea. The boat wagon rolled on in, and the kiddies paddled them the long way to the island. This time they arrived in present times, but the natives had heard they were the ancient heroes their ancestors had known, and welcomed them, and had them to their village to stay the night. In the morning, the heroes checked the boat wagon's dashboard, and there was a letter number 2 button. The letter read, "Take a partial crew and travel with the natives on their bicycular vehicles deep in the woods to the long pond. Follow the there, and when arrived, listen." So the natives got the heroes and some of their crew to pack up and rolled them via the into the woods, into a very quiet place where the pond was in view. They let them off and rolled on, saying they'd return in a while. Now settled on rocks at the edges of the pond, the group of heroes and crew, a dozen or so, gathered close to quiet and listen. The here along the pines-lined water's edge was so quiet that they had to listen way down low. Occasionally a bird yowl or trill or call erupted, and the wind sometimes tousled the trees. The water swayed and created and fractured images of the branches and boulders at the edge. Eventually the natives came riding back and the heroes and crew returned to the village. After a pleasant night's sleep, the heroes checked out the boat wage dashboard, and there was a letter number 3 button. Pressed, the letter popped out and unfolded. It read, "Take the rest of your crew and the boat wagon and follow the path of roots and rocks to the sea. There have a rest, and then roll into the sea." And so the heroes boarded the boat wagon and the rest of the crew, and were directed by the natives toward the path of roots and rocks. A difficult path, the boat wagon's claws out to climb through thick trees, among fallen trunks, patches of wild mushrooms, over small bridges, and down, and through the old apple orchard, with its impossibly beautiful and shy deer, and finally arrived to the beautiful, beautiful sea. Upon a high rock sat 2 great red wooden seats, and the boat wagon climbed claw by claw up to arrive. Down below, the wild, wild sea, the heroes considered and then nodded to the kiddies to climb on down and roll on in. The kiddies paddled the boat wagon into the sea, and for a long time along. Then, in the distance, they saw a speck in the air and approaching fast, and it was Calgary, the sea dragon, who looked upon them far below and said in his bemused, gravelly voice, "Ah, heroes and kiddies and crew, welcome, my friends. Hello." Well, everyone waved to Calgary and cheered. "Say," Calgary said, "would you like to see a place few ever have?" It being a secret journey they were on, the heroes yelled assent. Sea dragon tail lowered to surface. Boat wagon rolled on up and onto Calgary's noggin. Thwomp! Thwoop! Thwoop! He flew them many miles swiftly until they came in sight of what could only be called a secret island. Calgary flew down near to the shore, lowered tail to ground, and boat wagon rolled down and off. "Have fun, I will be back to pick you up in the morning," and with that Calgary flew slowly away. At the hero's signal, the kiddies pedaled the boat wagon up the beach and into the woods therein. Meanwhile, back at the village, the rest of the crew began worrying the absence of the heroes. They convinced the natives to select their biggest and most sure-footed numbers, to put on carrying apparatuses and travel swiftly the crew to the sea via the rocky and rootsy path, which they did and arrived, and of course they found no heroes or crew. Fortunately, one of their number was a white bunny who glowed a signal that summoned Calgary the sea dragon to come. "What is it, my friends?" asked he. The natives crouched fearfully among the rocks, but the crew, being creatures, were of course not afraid of their friend and asked where the heroes had gone. "To the secret island. Would you like me to bring you to?" And so Calgary lowered tail, and the rest of the hero's crew climbed on and up to noggin to ride on safely. Thwoop, thwoop, thwoop. The natives stayed ashore, promising to remain by the 2 great red seats till they all returned. Soon Calgary was far out at sea, and they approached the secret island. Arrive, tail down, crew onto the shore. "I will come get you, I will come get you tomorrow," cried Calgary, and flew thwoop, thwoop, thwoop away. Meanwhile, the heroes and their crew in the boat wagon had ventured far within these strange woods to places more of dream and mirage than solid form, rolling, floating, flying, till maybe stopping in a dreamsome place, felt enclosed like a clearing or cave or cavern, and there were just the basic elements of the world around them, an air current flowing in and around them, the musical chatterings of a stream or river, and the crackle snap of low flames, and from the earth itself, if be, a kind of great horn, a sound emitting from it without lips blowing. Hmming, hmming, hmming. The heroes and the crew in the boat wagon seemed to evanesce in and out of being, always in tune with the hmm, always in tune. And as though a valentine to them all, the hmm had led the rest of their crew to them, and they were all reunited as the fire crackled, air current lifted and held them, water flowed through them, calming, and the playerless horn, hmm, out of the world, every new moment. The heroes and crew fell into a reverie, as a dream of lost and found, and clustered together. Rolled back to shore and waited for Calgary to come as he did, and carried them all safely back to the island of the Frenchman. But many, many members of the island, anxiously waited for the return. Hurrah! 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 They cheered and cheered and prayed. The heroes and Roadrunners flew upon the shore and found the village. There they celebrated their great secret journey and eventually said goodbye to this morning, and boat wagon, back to their own island, went to its village and again, and said goodbyes. And of course, a fresh lecture about the new adventure. A pause swept around and became a cool little heroes present. A bunch of applause from all. The heroes came out later and bid the boat wagon to exit, having decided to just walk to the next lecture location. Released from duty, the kiddies pedaled their boat wagon through the white woods and finally to the seashore, and this time let her roll in and far into the sea, guarded surely and lovingly by Calgary the Sea Dragon somewhere high above. Telling done, Maya switches off the creature-powered pink cat radio, smiling endlessly at the epic tale they have told. She sleeps, as always, deep among a cluster of them, fingers among the white bunny, hedgehog, many giraffes and bears, a furry little squirrel in a warm orange sock hat, a brown monkey fellow, a black and white Dalmatian, quite a few duckies. So satisfied with their story, she is able to sleep without dream or dreams this time. Wakes up just as into the great cavern rolls none other than that boat wagon, carrying none other than Maya's loved and long unseen peoplefolk friends, Christina and Kinley. Looks once, twice, smiles, frowns.